Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Last pharma story of the day, Trump and Elon Musk, the cut sheet, Sean Farish, a whole bunch of good stuff still ahead on the show. We have so many good stories today. I've got a Hunter Biden story I want to get to. We've got Joe Biden. I've got Chuck Todd going after Joe Biden. So some really good stuff lined up. And, of course, we'll get to about 40% of it.
That's... I want to get to the firing squad story.
And the firing squad. That's one of the best stories.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank you.
We're going to go 6 hours today. Dawn will start at noon. Dom will start at 2. Zioli will start at 5. And then we'll just tell Walter and they can take the night off.
I can't be late. David is the male lead in Mamma Mia tonight.
Oh, boy.
High school play.
Mamma Mia. Oh, boy. I used to call my daughter that back in the day.
It's, it's all ABBA. ABBA.
Yeah. Swedish. I had to attend a play last Saturday. My in-laws, my brother-in-law's daughters were in Moana, their school play for their middle school.
Okay.
Yeah. And Moana's a solid. It's catchy, I got to tell you. What can I say except you're welcome? You ever heard of that song?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Sing a little more.
No. The You're Welcome song.
Yeah, I love the You're Welcome
The You're Welcome song.
Yeah, that's what my son called it for for a while.
Yeah.
And he was singing that around the house.
You wanted to blow your head off, huh?
Yeah, and then he stopped. Thank God.
Well, it could be worse. It could be Baby Shark. Baby Shark. Yeah, I had to do the Baby Shark thing.
Yeah.
That was torture. I looked at my wife, and I'm like, you see why I go to the liquor store.
Tommy G says, the cut sheet will start at 9:45.
Yeah, that's correct. No, the cut sheet can only be pushed off at least 8 minutes. That's the max.
Yeah.
If it gets to 7:53, then people get real testy around here.
Then I start throwing things.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the news. By the way, if you want to talk about your son's play in the news, I'll take that over a shooting. So if you want, just by all means, talk about that.
No, I'd rather have the shooting.
The shooting? You're so itchy for the firing squad. Yeah. You just want to shoot everybody.
Yeah, I am.
All right, let's get to it. Dawn, round number two at 7:05.
Yeah, good morning this Friday morning, March the 7th. Windy, mild, 51 degrees. Philadelphia Boat Show sponsoring Kale and Company News Live this hour. So we do have this follow-up, and it's an important one, with top environmental regulators in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania ordering Energy Transfer, that's the parent company of Sunoco, to actually supply all residents of a Bucks County neighborhood with bottled water, and then they have to install these filters for their wells. And this follows that January pipeline spill. We've talked a lot about this. And the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection also ordering that Energy Transfer must take a variety of other actions. They have to do site remediation within a very strict timeline. So giving out this information, this was a spill of jet fuel and possibly other petroleum products. This is I apologize if I'm saying it wrong. I believe it's Mount Airy neighborhood. But it's Washington Crossing area, Upper Makefield, and they have really been very upset. Hundreds of residents have been very upset about this, with going back and forth with these meetings, multiple meetings, and trying to get answers from Sunoco officials. They say they don't trust the company. At one point, remember this, we talked about the fact that at one point there were investigators who said this may have been going on for quite some time, not just this latest spill of the jet fuel.
So you said Upper Makefield. That's mm-hmm. as if you're heading up towards Quakertown, correct? Upper Bucks?
So it's like Washington Crossing area.
Okay, got it.
You think of Washington Crossing, this is where also we had all the problems with the deadly. Remember those flash floods that mm-hmm. proved to
that's
be deadly?
Exactly where that family was swept away.
Yes.
Horrendous story.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a friend whose husband was caught in that, actually. Was his pickup truck was just swept up in that. And really, he survived, thank God. But that area, I mean, my God, they've been through it. And mm-hmm. now to learn about the spill of jet fuel and then wonder about it all this time. So there are some remedies in store. And I know some of you have even asked us and given us feedback about this. So just wanted to give you that this was the latest that came down kind of late yesterday. You may not have heard. We also have the National Transportation Safety Board. They were speaking out yesterday with some preliminary information. One of the headlines about their investigation into finding out what caused that deadly plane crash. It was a medical flight with a little girl who survived you know, she'd been at a local children's hospital and had been treated. She, her mommy, a medical crew, pilots on board that small plane when it crashed on a Friday, January 31st, with deadly results killing everybody on board, as well as one man on the ground, and then as well injuring many others. So they were hoping, what they've been doing this entire time, once they found that black box, the so-called cockpit voice recorder, they had to reassemble this thing. And they did that and then realized that it, not only can they not get any audio from it, they believe, based on all their forensic investigation, this cockpit voice recorder has not been working for years.
Yeah. So I originally said when you reported this in the 6 o'clock news that I thought it was a little suspicious. But ipso facto, one of our good YouTube contributors said that he watches a lot of the Discovery Channels, like plane crashes and plane disasters. And apparently in small planes and small companies like this, it's not unusual for this to happen.
Wow.
A lot.
As far as the recorders,
yes,
to be...
Yeah, there's... They said the stuff in there that doesn't work is unbelievable.
Wow.
Which is not very... Not very...
No.
Well, that's
comforting.
Not very reassuring.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. My God.
So they do have the timeline, and they do have, you know, as far as, you know, we had heard that the tower, you know, back and forth, but that they were not saying, you know, much about what could have gone wrong.
So is this on the individuals that perhaps own these small little planes, or is this on the FAA as far as not being up to date with, you know, functional equipment?
You know, one thing they're talking about is this, you know, when you have cloudy, remember it was very cloudy.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the pilot, and this was the theory of JFK Jr., that sometimes as a pilot, smaller plane, you become disoriented. And that's one of the growing theories within this, you know, real tragic situation. So just wanted to update you on that. They'll continue to investigate, and we'll probably hear from it, you know, a couple years from now that they'll get down to it. We know that, by the way, a federal judge set to hear arguments today over whether or not the judge should block immigration agents, ICE agents, from conducting any arrests at schools under the new policy under President Trump that has never been acted upon.
I know.
Quite frankly. But this is the Denver public school system. They're asking a U.S. district judge to block in advance, even though there's no indication that they would, but they're asking a judge to block any kind of ICE agents or immigration enforcement inside schools. That's the latest lawsuit, and we're expecting a ruling today.
Just remarkable, considering that ICE and, you know, Kristi Noem and Tom Homan have not showed up at any school yet, and yet it makes you think, who's the mayor of Denver? Is it some
Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
What does he know about the
John school? John Stunn, with a T, right?
With a T.
Yeah.
What does he know about the school district as far as public schools and the population and the kids that are in that school? If you're going that far and wasting tax dollars and wasting time on the legal docket for this, it makes me automatically suspect that he knows that there are illegal immigrants in his city with kids that are also illegal in that school district. Why would you go to that level unless this is merely a political move? I don't know, maybe he's facing re-election coming up.
I think that your second point is correct, because I know that Tony Watlington here in Philadelphia, the superintendent of Philadelphia Public Schools, he was asked about this. And to his credit, he said, we have zero evidence that this is an issue in I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but right. He said, we don't have evidence of this. Mm-hmm. We have no indication that any ICE agents have gone into our schools, have wanted to go into the schools. So he said, I really don't think this is an issue. And he just kind of put the kibosh on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which was refreshing.
And if they do show up at a school, my guess is it's not for a child. It's for a school employee that somehow is working in the district as an illegal immigrant. Now, I don't know how you slip through the cracks. I would assume the vetting is pretty good at these schools. But then again, we see all these teachers that end up being pedophiles and sleeping with their students on TikTok. So, you know, things happen.
Yeah, and remember we had heard there were reports, although this is not, you know, we don't get a lot of information on this, but there were reports that there were some high schools, even here in Pennsylvania, not in this immediate area, but that there were In other words, illegal guys especially who came to this country, they might be 25, but when they came here and got a new ID, they said they were 17 or 18. We did hear about that. So, you know, that's the only scenario by which I can think of it. I think like our superintendent Watlington said, they don't want to go into school. They don't want to disrupt and scare kids.
No.
It doesn't ring true. By the way, just a mention, the House yesterday voting to censure Representative Alexander Al Green, a Democrat from Texas, for disrupting President Trump's address to Congress.
Yes, I actually have a story somewhere here in my packets of papers about how the Democrats held a closed-door meeting after the defiant acts of Al Green and others. They were told, I think it was from Hakeem Jeffries, do not make an ass out of yourself. I'm paraphrasing here. And they did
that was the memo.
Yep.
Cut 10, apparently the Democrats sang, "We Shall Overcome."
Another cringe musical.
In response to Al Green being censured. Roll it.
It's adoption of House Resolution 189. The House has resolved that Representative Al Green be censured. That Representative Al Green forthwith present himself in the well of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure. And that Representative Al Green be censured with public reading of this resolution by the Speaker.
What a cringe party.
Can they sing something a little more hip?
The House had come to order. The House had come to order.
Get louder.
I'd like to hear a version of WAP.
Look at Al Green holding up his cane. What a clown this guy is.
The House had come to order. Clear the well, please. Clear the well.
Clear the
well.
The
House has to continue its business.
Mike Johnson's another one. He's a little weasel.
Mike Johnson sounds like he runs a public library.
He looks like one, too.
Magavike. There you go.
So there's that one. 10 Democrats did also join Republicans. We have talked this morning about the latest explosion and all the fallout, the wreckage seen streaming from the skies over Florida. Yes, this was SpaceX launched that mammoth, the huge Starship rocket. Last night, lost contacts minutes into the test flight as the spacecraft came tumbling down and broke apart.
Yeah, let's play the video again, Phil, if you can.
It's incredible video.
Yeah. Look at that.
Beautiful orange in the sky, teal waters. It's like a postcard.
Over the Bahamas.
So, and then remember the one that happened was that 2 months ago.
Yep.
That was flight number 7, and that was over Turks and Caicos, I believe.
I'd like to be in Turks and Caicos right now.
No, you wouldn't. Actually, they put out warnings.
Oh, no?
On that one, just ahead of spring break.
What, bad water?
Measles.
Spring breakers getting abducted and being dismembered.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, measles, you know, there was just another case or another death, right, from measles. RFK Jr. hiking in Coachella. I mean, you know, maybe...
Not a good look.
Maybe, homeboy, take a little advice from your counterpart there. I mean, Trump, and, you know, just appear like you're doing something. Saying.
This is Greg Stocker giving some much needed advice.
It's like he's posting selfies on Instagram of him hiking in Coachella.
Is he shirtless?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Man, that guy's ripped.
He is.
Trump cannot like that. There's no way Trump can like that.
No, for a guy that never seems to sleep and is always grinding. I also read a story that Kash Patel apparently wanted to work somewhat remotely for the FBI. I don't think that flies with Trump either. Trump doesn't strike me as a guy that values remote work.
No. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the firing squad story. It's the South Carolina man said to become the first executed by firing squad in 15 years. Well, is this a tease? We'll do that ahead.
Sure. Yep. Sure.
On the cut sheet.
By the way, speaking of RFK Jr., didn't his horrible wife give him an ultimatum? Did you guys see that story?
No.
Well, I did notice she was not at the state of... Did you guys notice that she was not at Trump's speech?
She said something about his... She's very worried about him. Maybe that's why he's hiking in Coachella, because she doesn't want him to stay in Washington, D.C. because of his, quote, lust demons.
Oh. He can't control himself.
No sexting.
Yeah.
Scumbag.
So.
Cheryl and Bobby.
Just get my food healthy, and you can bang whoever you want to. I don't care. Just make America healthy again. Okay? Stop sexting 30-year-olds, or continue sexting 30-year-olds. I don't care. Right. Just please make us healthy again.
Poll question, Phil, on YouTube. Who's the bigger nympho, Elon or Bobby?
Well, at least Elon's doing sort of age-appropriate.
Well, at least Elon's not married.
It's true.
He's a single dude. You can hammer whatever you want, bro.
Cheryl Hines.
Oh, my goodness.
Elon's like, my God. Let me find my read here. Where's my sponsor to save this?
Yes. I'm getting on my boat on a pontoon.
Yeah.
Putting headsets on and drifting away. The boat show sale. Oh, the boat show. You got to do this. The boat sale of the year. It's back. Philadelphia Boat Show. March 14th through the 16th at the Expo Center in Oaks, top tri-state dealers ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats, pontoon party boats, ski boats, bass boats, PWCs, and more, and maybe some bass boats. You know, you got the bass boats, but maybe some bass, play some good music,
yeah,
and more. See the PhillyBoatShow.com, PhillyBoatShow.com for all the details, all the tickets. It's a lot of fun. Maybe if you're not buying a boat, you'll meet somebody who is, so you can they can take you out, go do some saltwater fishing.
Yeah.
But it's really a good time at the Philadelphia Boat Show.
And if anybody wants to give me a pontoon, I'll take it. I'm not buying one, but if you just want to give it to me, I'll gladly accept.
We'll do an event on Greg Stocker's in-laws.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you imagine us doing a live remote on a pontoon playing the cut sheet?
No. And drinking beer.
No. Yes.
I see enough of you two. I don't want to see any more of you two.
Just a real quick forecast is, remember we're springing forward. You're going to lose a little sleep.
Ugh.
So we'll all be a little grumpy on Monday morning. But we're going to have the forecast. We're 35, a little blustery, a little windy, but bright, clear, sunny skies, 52 degrees for your high. Saturday's the cooler day over the weekend, but really a sunny stretch now in the 10-day forecast. So 48-ish, 49-ish for your tomorrow for Saturday. Sunday, rising to mid-50s, 54 degrees. Monday, 62. Tuesday, 66. By Wednesday, we'll be to 70 degrees, and then we'll round out next week, mid-60s. So next week is going to feel like a taste of springs. We're basically, after Monday, we're really mid to upper 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a warm week we can look forward to as we come in with March. This is Gail and Company News Live.
What? YouTube chat, just like...
What'd I do?
No, not you, me.
That's what Greg did.
You speak out against one of their heroes, and it's just like, how dare you? Are you an insider? Do you know what's going on? No, I don't know what's going on, but it's our job to report news stories that we see, dummy.
By the way, I was corrected yesterday by one of our big listeners, and he's a big fan of the show and always defends me.
Good for you.
Robert says I was very disingenuous and egotistical by saying that people that get their groceries delivered are fat and lazy and don't want to get off the couch.
Yep.
And apparently I have to qualify everything. I'll give all the exemptions moving forward, you know, on every opinion, because Robert is disabled and he says, you know, some people can't get there. I'm aware of that, Robert. I get that. I was referring to, like, the young generation.
Referring to Greg Stocker.
The entitlement era of, I want it now and I'm not going to do anything. I'll just bitch about it and have it delivered to my porch. So those are the people I was referring to.
But and
I
Greg love Stocker.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
No, the truth is about it, you're right. For shut-ins, for people who are in places like Philadelphia where there's a lot of crime,
mm-hmm.
and especially senior citizens, it's a blessing.
Yes.
And for people with a young child, and maybe you're
watching part of his tweet,
Greg.
He goes, what about the moms of three that don't want to take their kids into the store because they're a pain in the butt? So moving forward, before you give it, new rule on the show, if you give an opinion on anything, give out all the exceptions, exemptions, and disclaimers so nobody can point out the 1% of society that might be triggered by your opinion.
I agree. I agree that it is a godsend for people who can't move and who are, you know, disabled and whatever.
Yeah.
Disabilities, recovering from surgery.
I admitted at the very beginning, I'm lazy. I was lazy about it. You're damn right I was. It had nothing to do with my kid is awesome in grocery stores. It was the fact that I had to. I didn't want to go out in the rain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Well, I meant if he was sleeping. You know, we need like those paddles, like the Sotheby's paddles, like the Democrats had, with an Astra, and we could just write the exception. So when you're speaking, I'll just hold it up to the camera.
By the way, if one of us aren't offending somebody on the show, we're not doing our job. So.
I just naturally offend everybody.
That's not
my wife's been saying that for years.
Yeah,
she's like, "Do you try to be a jerk?" I go, "No, it just comes naturally."
I have heard. I got word that Nick Hale might be coming a little bit egotistical.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna have to check myself and hold a meeting. I have a meeting with myself around 10:05 today in this
it's the parents' fault,
conference
Greg.
Room. Yeah. 855-839-1210, the phone number. All right, we will come back. Cut Sheets about 20 minutes out. Let's get to Elon Musk, and if we have time, we'll get to the firing squad before the cut sheet. Or maybe we'll just put Elon in the firing squad, and then Trump will be happy. We'll take care of Elon ourselves. Kale and Company, we are back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I do think it's possible when you have two super alpha males, egotistical men, you know, guys that have never really had to answer to too many people, lots of money, that there will be, you know, perhaps a clash. And I'm not saying that this was a clash, but Donald Trump now putting, quote, new limits on Elon Musk as they had their cabinet meeting yesterday in person on Thursday, and a couple of messages were delivered, maybe none bigger than reminding Elon Musk that he is not in charge of everybody's department. He is an advisor. He can offer his opinion, but he is not the be-all, end-all, and does not oversee anybody else that's a, quote, department head that went through the nomination process, right? So according to two administration officials, Trump told top members of his administration that Musk was empowered to make recommendations to the departments, but not to issue unilateral decisions on staffing and policy. Now, Musk was also in the room. The meeting followed a series of mass firings and threats to government workers from the billionaire Tesla founder who helms the Department of Government Efficiency. Trump's message represents the first significant move to narrow Musk's mandate. According to Trump's new guidance, Doge and its staff should play an advisory role, but cabinet secretaries will be the ones who make final decisions on personnel, policy, and the pacing of said implementation. Musk was there for the conversation and indicated that he was on board with Trump's directive. According to one person familiar with the meeting, Musk acknowledged that Doge had made some missteps, a message that he shared earlier this week with members of Congress, and Trump stressed that he wants to keep good people in government and not to eject capable federal workers en masse. He basically said, I think the quote yesterday was, no more chainsaws, let's start using hatchets instead. Nice little play on words there to kind of say, you know, we got to scale this back just a little bit. Trump posted on Truth Social yesterday, quote, we had a meeting with most of the secretaries, Elon and others, and it was a very positive one. It's very important that we cut levels down to where they should be, but it's also important to keep the best and most productive people. We're going to have these meetings every 2 weeks until that aspect of this very necessary job is done. The relationships between everybody in that room are extraordinary. They all want to get to the exact same place, which is simply to make America great again. I find this to be interesting. We know Elon has that self-imposed expiration date, summer 2026. So it's just about 15 months away. He wants to have Doge wrapped up in 18 months by July 4th, 2026, when America turns 250 years old. But this is a very popular department. Doge is very popular with the American public. Elon Musk has kind of dipped in his popularity because of who he's aligned himself with. But I want to play this. This is Harry Enten from CNN giving some polling data on just how popular Doge really is. Phil, clip K1. Let's roll this.
This to me was one of the more shocking figures that I saw. Made me go, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. Whoa. Americans on Trump and Joe's efforts. Musk and Doge should influence government spending and operations. Look at this. 54%, the majority say that he and they should. How about approve of Trump trying to cut staff at government agencies? Again, you get a majority here, 51%. So yeah, Elon Musk might not be that popular, But these cuts and the idea of spending cuts, at least within the federal government and cutting at government agencies, that actually has majority support. I was truly surprised by this, Kate, but the numbers are the numbers.
I'm not surprised by those numbers at all. The only surprise that I have a little bit is the fact that they're a little lower than I thought. CBS YouGov, after Trump's speech on Tuesday night, when they asked people that were viewing what they thought on cutting the waste, fraud, and abuse, that was somewhere, if I recall from the graphics that Phil rolled through yesterday in the big take, it was somewhere between 66% and 77%. So I would probably venture to say 6 out of 10 or 2 out of every 3 Americans are on board with Doge. The question is, should Elon, now this is a Trump production at the end of the day, and I do think Trump enjoyed the fact that Elon's been taking a lot of the proverbial bullets. I mean, Trump for a decade has taken, literal and figuratively, taken bullets in his political career. So, you know, Elon can be out there and get, you know, shredded by the media. You know, Bobby can take his abuse, and Trump can kind of be, you know, the overseer of the operation. But at some point, I knew this would happen, and I'm glad it happened. And I like Trump, you know that, and I like Elon, you know that. But this is where Elon, I think, has to stay in his lane. We want you to trim the fat. We want you to find out all these ridiculous expenses that are coming from our wallets at the end of the day and get us to a point where we can balance the balance sheet. We can trim off one, perhaps $2 trillion. I'm not sure where you stand on this, Don, but like, to me, I don't need Elon Musk meddling in Pete Hegseth's world or Bobby Kennedy's world or Linda McMahon's world or Howard Lutnick's world. I mean, I appreciate and respect his business acumen, but that's kind of where it ends. He's not a health expert. He's not a defense contractor. He has no military background. Kind of stay in your lane. And, you know, he's also not even really technically on the books, so to speak, if you think about it. Now, some of his staffers are, but he's not doing this for any money.
I think this is all about the court rulings, because they had to define, you know, that you have dozens of lawsuits and all of these filings in courts across the country. And I believe that either there was a story in the past couple of days where the lawyers even used Trump's speech before Congress, you know, to talk about Doge. So I think all this little leaked story going on is actually about the lawsuits. And that's my take. I don't believe, because Elon, when he was in that first cabinet meeting, which I love because they started with a prayer, I have to say. But, you know, Elon was like, he does that little bow thing. Mm-hmm. And he was like, president said I should be more aggressive. You know, he's not. I just think that he's socially awkward. I don't think Elon is actually doing this. This is all the game that they play in the public. But I think Trump knows that by his people putting all of this out and planting these seeds, that it's all helping the Doge lawyers who are battling all these different court, you know, all these different court filings across the country.
Do you think Trump? I mean, we've talked about this in the past when people say to Trump, especially these blue governors that have said, you know, in regards to certain things like ICE or the Department of Education, I'll see you in court, Trump. Do you think Trump really, I mean, Trump's been in court more than he's been on a golf course in his life, right? He's had more court cases than rounds of golf played. I don't think Trump's overly concerned about the Doge court cases. You know what I think he's doing here? And this is not, I'm not going to say, oh, this is 3D chess or 4D chess. I'm not using that phrase. But what I think this is, I think Trump is aware, and I think we all are aware, this doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, the media and the Democrats would love nothing more than to create a dramatic rift between Trump and Musk that doesn't exist. Now, do they maybe have conversations behind closed doors where Elon says this in his own fashion and way, in that quirky manner that he has, and Trump shoots it down and says it's a stupid idea? I could see him saying that, right? But I don't think there's this rift between the two, like the media is trying to portray. That being said, you do have to keep in mind the wealthiest guy in the world with the most aggressive president from a personality standpoint of all time. A lot of times, type A's, while they attract and they gravitate towards each other, once the honeymoon phase is over, then there is a butting of the heads. I don't know that I'm seeing a butting of the heads, or I don't feel that in my gut, But I also think that, you know, he's probably saying, okay, let's ask this question as well. I'll flip it around from, all right, Elon, you're going to have to take some of the bullets from the media. Is there a jealousy factor here?
No.
Because Doge is Trump's idea, but it's Musk that is getting the attention for the accomplishment.
Musk has, you know, and I wish we had that audio of him describing. So a couple of things. Musk has, all he wants to do, what he think his brain, what he thinks about is Mars and space exploration. And I think he genuinely believes, because at the end of the day, that's his whole life. That's what he exists to be, to do, is the space exploration stuff, right? And so I think that Musk, what he believes and what he has repeatedly said consistently, is that right now we are down a path where it's the government waste is so bad that we're driving ourselves into a ditch. Mm-hmm. The second thing I'm going to say is that, you know, and we've said this before, but just real quick, the White House has said that a woman by the name of Amy Gleason is the acting administrator. There have been many who've pointed out Doge, and maybe it was not called Doge, but that department was created under the Obama administration. So when people say, oh, these people are making six figures. Well, guess what, people? They were always making six figures.
Yeah.
Apparently everybody in Washington, you know, makes the six figures. But I just think that in this one, that Trump is putting this out there. We're hearing about it now. Because, like I say, when he gave that great speech on Tuesday, the lawyers used his speech when he introed Elon. They actually used that. In other words, the lawyers who are fighting against Doge used it in court to say, see, Trump says Elon's running things. In court, they're saying he's not running things. He's a famous guy. He's the guy who's providing the data, but he's not calling the shots. So in this one, we're talking about this morning. Who runs Doge? Oh, Trump is, you know, that's what the Trump people want now because of all of these lawyers across the country who are filing, trying to shut down Doge. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep. 855-839-1210, the number. A firing squad will kill someone for the first time in the United States in 15 years. That story is still ahead this morning. And up next, Sean Farish joins us for the cut sheet.
By the way, we have to break here, but I'm looking at the preview screen. Sean has a new backdrop. Looks amazing.
Oh.
Looks amazing.
Yes, I see that.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Don't play it yet. Get on over there during this commercial break so you can see Sean's new backdrop. There's a symbol on it that's very near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
So, YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Everybody get over there for the cut sheet.
Farish Friday begins next here on Talk Radio 1210WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What kind of truck do you have? Just out of curiosity.
It's a Chevy Colorado.
Nice. Okay. So you have a six cylinder truck as well. So you're just like me.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube chat's going to light us up because we don't have the eight-cylinder trucks.
Well, you know what? At least my truck doesn't guzzle gas like, you know.
That's been my argument.
People who guzzle things. Yeah. You know?
we don't work in landscaping or have to put the lawn mowers in the back of our truck.
Well, that's the thing.
What do I need a $92 fill-up for?
I put a picture, you know, I finally got a Blackstone grill, so I'm making my my pork chops again. I love my pork. And they're like, oh, you should have beef. I'm like, yeah, I would, but I'm not a millionaire. Sorry. You know, when I can get a 2 pound pork chop for $7, or I could find a freaking half a pound New York strip steak for like $1,000. What do you do?
Yeah.
By the way, don't sleep on the Blackstone. That is a quality.
Not
grill.
Sleep on the Blackstone. As a matter of fact, grill. I have a policy.
Yeah.
Anybody who talks crap about Blackstone is blocked for oblivion. That's how that goes.
Yeah.
Because clearly you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Amen. Sean Farish
says, too hard to clean. It's very easy to clean.
Do not criticize Blackstone Grills and do not defend Andrew Tate. You're good with Sean Farish.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second because Byron Donalds took some shots at him, so we'll get to that in a second.
Let's get down to it.
I love Byron Donalds.
What's on that cut sheet?
Let's do this.
What's on?
4 minutes late.
Cut
sheet! It's not bad. 4 minutes is good.
That's right. What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes and you hear a squeal or grinding noise, don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important and, I believe, best edition of the cut sheet, the Friday edition. Dawn referenced this earlier. Dawn Stensland, our award-winning journalist. co-host, host of her own show. The woman does it all.
Believe me, you will guzzle.
She will guzzle. Yeah. Hang on. Since we can't have...
You will guzzle.
There we go. There we go. She referenced this earlier about the questions that Trump took in the Oval Office yesterday, starting with Peter Ducey. We play the... Well, actually, let's do the... Because I want to get Sean's take on this. The let's do the time... Daylight Savings Time one. Which one is that, Phil? I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, it's the one we played earlier.
Daylight Saving Time.
Daylight Saving Time.
Spring forward.
Yeah.
Lose an hour of sleep.
Roll it. Mm-hmm. Roll it.
When are you going to get rid of daylight savings?
Okay, are you ready? this should be the easiest one of all, but it's a 50-50 issue. And if something's a 50-50 issue, it's hard to get excited about it. I assume people would like to have more light later, but some people want to have more light earlier because they don't want to take their kids to school in the dark. And it's very much, it's a little bit one way, but it's very much a 50-50 issue. And it's something I can do, but a lot of people like it one way, a lot of people like it the other way. It's very even. And usually I find when that's the case, what else do we have to do?
And I got...
I don't know, Sean. I am on team more light later. What team are you on?
Yeah, I'm on team more light later also. But I guess if it is 50-50, he's got to be. You know, it sounds like he's sitting there going, I don't want to throw my old legacy away on daylight savings time.
Is Trump a threat to daylight savings time?
Yeah, well, if he's not a threat to democracy, he's got to be a threat to something, or the Democrats wouldn't be doing choose your fighter memes, right? So,
my God.
I saw that and said, oh. Okay, that's what they're doing. Great, wonderful.
Phil,
I'm on team light later.
Okay,
yeah, team light later.
Phil, since we're since Sean referenced that, and we go wherever the cut sheet takes us. By the way, Dawn, where are you? Are you on team daylight savings, or are you on team the other way?
I am saving time. It's
so
not
like
savings.
Light,
Peter Ducey
light later.
Led all of you astray. It's not savings. It's daylight saving.
So you want light later. You want to have that summer feel, 8:30, the sun's still up for 30 more minutes.
Yeah.
I don't
definitely.
Know. Are you, Stocker, you're on team light later?
Oh,
as
yeah,
well?
Absolutely.
So it's
absolutely.
Unanimous.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know anybody that likes it the other way.
There are a lot of people who like light in the morning. You know what I mean?
For like, what?
Because it's because people get up earlier.
Well, yeah. Nobody gets up
early.
Earlier than we do.
That's true.
So the sun coming up at 6:05 as Dawn starts the news versus the sun coming up at 7:00 as we kick off hour number two. Is that really rocking your world if you're a first shifter?
Let's
I'd like to do a poll question.
Let's put the poll up there.
I have a feeling it's going to be closer than it should be.
Don't confuse it. So just put, Phil, just put up there lighter later. Do you want it lighter later?
Yes or no.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. All right, Sean just referenced this. This has got nine. Choose your fighter. This is the cringiest, douchiest video I've ever seen by a bunch of, okay.
Liberal women in the Democrat Party?
Roll this.
AOC. Lauren Underwood, Catherine Clark, and Judy Chu, Jasmine Crockett, Susie Lee.
Okay, guys.
It's like a Mortal Kombat video game entry.
Of awful people.
Yeah, where's Liu Kang and Sub-Zero?
God.
Ugh. See, this is where you have to trust your brand manager. So whichever brand manager got them to do that should be fired.
Yeah, Greg, stop.
Whatever brand manager got them to do that needs a promotion. That's what I think. Okay? Not fired. They need a party. They need balloons. I need their address. I'm going to send them chocolates and roses and all of this. That's what I think. Okay? Listen, if someone made me do that, maybe I'd fire. But like, no, I think it was great for the Democrats. I think it was wonderful. They should keep. They should make a sequel.
I agree. Just keep doing it.
Make a whole trilogy.
Yeah,
you know, do like the Choose Your Fighter Strikes Back, then Return of the Fighter, then make some really, really, really bad sequels with Disney after that, and go Star Wars route.
They
then make like spin-offs and all that.
Yeah, they look more like they're ready to tussle than Tim Walz has ever looked. I mean, Tim Walz with the Stretch Armstrong arms and the flailing. I don't know what it is about that party.
He looked like that, I'm a used car dealership, yes. but I have a sale. Guy,
yeah.
You know?
Those wacky inflatable arm guys. Yeah.
That guy. Yeah.
All right, back to the press conference yesterday, or Oval Office questions. Peter Ducey asked Trump. Nick did a big take on this on, what, Wednesday?
Yes.
Did you do the big take on this? About the report on the assassination attempt on July 13th. This is cut 20, Phil, if you can pull that back up. There you go.
It's been 7 months. Why do you think we don't know more about the guy who shot you in the ear?
Yeah, well, and the second one with all of his cell phones, so... I want to find the answers. I've told them. In fact, today I said, I want to find. We can no longer blame Biden for that one. He should have released that a long time ago. So they are giving me a report next week sometime. And I do believe I'll be releasing. I want to release the report. A lot of people have asked that question. You had one who had three apps, two of which were foreign, supposedly, and who has the biggest white shoe law firm in Pennsylvania, even though they don't live in necessarily a white shoe area. What's that all about? His law, you know, the law firm. The other one had seven or six cell phones, and I don't have six cell phones. And why would somebody have six cell phones? So we're going to be releasing a report on that soon, Peter.
But this is based on what you're saying right there, the lack of information and the data points that you just gave, does that make you think that there's some part of a, that there's some bigger...
It could be. Well, it makes other people think that. It makes me think it a little bit, too. I say, when you have three apps and two of them are foreign, and you had an FBI that wouldn't report on it, they didn't want to say why, I would say that could be suspicious. And then... On the second assassin, you had, you know, and by the way, I have to tell you, Secret Service did a great job on that by spotting him. But on the second one, he had six cell phones. That's a lot of cell phones. And a couple of them had some strange markings on them. So, yeah, I want to find out, and I would be willing to release it. I mean, maybe there's a reason that we shouldn't, so I don't want to get too far ahead of my skis, but yeah, I would be very willing to release that. I'd like to see it. I want to see it myself. Not only you, I want to see that one myself.
Because there's a report that he didn't act alone, right?
Sean, I'm not sure if you saw the report from the New York Post, the investigative journalist, and then also there's an independent investigator who believes that there's sufficient evidence to show that Thomas Matthew Crooks was basically a patsy for some sort of criminal network, and there's still a device that is pinging in the area of the school that he went to. This thing stinks to high hell.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't think, you know, that folk, I mean, if anyone believes that he acted alone, I don't know what to tell you. This is a 22, you know, young, who worked in an assisted living facility. You're going to tell me that he outsmarted the Secret Service all by himself? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That he knew exactly where to go? I don't think he acted alone. What obviously, you know, you were in an information vacuum. So when you're not given information about something, that gives you, you know, amazing breeding ground for theories. And I'm not going to call them conspiracy theories. I'm going to call them theories because we simply don't know what the story is with Crooks, or what the story is with Ryan Wesley Ruth. You know, that's why be as transparent as possible, because then you shut down that information vacuum. If you don't and you withhold, look what happened with the drones in New Jersey, where you had, you know, Bethany Frankel. I mean, okay, the Pentagon's leaking to the Real Housewives of New York. That's news, right? I guess that's crazy. You know, they're chasing a nuclear bomb. No, they're chasing something that looks like a pen, and I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why she even did that. But, you know, when you are not given information, it allows people the freedom, the flexibility to come up with their own explanations in the absence of an official explanation. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the official explanation is always the truth, because, you know, we've had a lot of cloudiness on the Epstein files, too.
Right.
You know, first it was on her desk. Then it was in the Southern District of New York. Then she had it and it was terrible. Then she never really actually had it. Then, you know, there was an 8 a.m. deadline and then that passed. But then they actually got the files. So who knows?
Yeah.
You know, Give us the information.
It's just, and I'm glad you say information vacuum, because we live in this world where everybody is now a whistleblower. Everybody has sources. Everybody puts out fake news. Everybody just loves to say, I've got the answer, and I was told this, and they can't get off social media. They can't get away from cameras and microphones. And then all of a sudden you have silence, and you have a lack of curiosity. So that the silence to me is usually a dead giveaway that there's something dirty here and they don't want us to know about.
Well, yeah.
Trump also was asked about the we talked a lot about it the other day, about the State of the Union, non-State of the Union, and that 13-year-old boy and the Democrats not standing and applauding for the kid with cancer, and then Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow coming out and basically making asses of themselves. Trump was asked about that yesterday. Cut 16. Go.
This is a follow-up. The other night, you know, we saw Democrats' behavior during your joint address to Congress. Yeah. Do you think it shows just how out of touch they are with the American people, especially given that 79%, according to a CBS poll, approved of your
I love this guy. Who are you with?
My name is Nick Gilbertson with Breitbart News.
I see. I really liked your questions.
Thank you very much.
Sir, regarding the executive order.
The answer is just, Nick, just to, and I know your name very well. Good job, you do. Yeah, the answer is I thought it was very embarrassing for the Democrats what happened the other night. And that's not said for any other reason other than it's obvious, it's fact. Even CNN fake news said that. They came out and they said it. And worse than CNN is MSDNC, which is the worst. And the good news is very few people watch them anymore. They have lost such credibility. And frankly, what Nicole Wallace said, I've never been a fan of hers, but and she's not very talented. But I'll tell you, what she said the other day about that, that young man is disgraceful. She should be forced to resign. And Rachel Maddow should be forced to resign. Nobody watches her anyway. I don't know if it's not possible they pay her as much money as I hear. But certainly she's lost all credibility, both of them. But what they said the other day, they should be forced to resign about that young person. Who is suffering greatly. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome, sir. We like Knicks. Knicks from Breitbart, Knicks from Philly. All the Knicks are good Knicks. Yeah, you know, I don't think she should be forced to resign. She should just be...
She should just resign.
She should just resign. She should just take a ton of guff in her mentions on social media, because that's a real sick comment. Again, free speech, the whole bit, whatever. But it's embarrassing. You can't come out... I think the quote... And Dawn, you did a great job of... When we played it back a second time, because you heard her say something to the effect of, I let myself
feel joy.
Remember that?
Yes.
Feel joy, yeah.
Feel joy. Like,
yeah.
As if you can't feel joy about anything connected to Trump that is good-natured and is a great success story as a human being, but you have to, like, almost turn off the component of your body that, you know, builds up the fuel for Trump hatred. To act like a functional human being for a moment. Seriously, get off your high horse, lady.
She's like in that cult, you know, must be a special cult where they whoosh, they whip themselves in the back. I will not let myself feel joy.
Mm-hmm.
But then she suddenly lets herself feel joy.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
It's
Sean,
very strange.
Sean, do you think Maddow and Wallace are on their way to being the next Joy Reads?
I hope so. But in a way, I also hope not, because they give us, you know, they give us the content. But that comment was reprehensible. Now, I'm anti-censorship, obviously, because I believe the more you let these people speak, the worse they are for themselves. So that's how reckless they are with their own, you know, privilege at this point to be on national. Look what Joy Reid did. Now, all she did was race bait for a couple of years, and now she's out of a job, and she cried, and I brought value. Well, clearly you didn't, you know what I mean? Or else they wouldn't have fired you.
So
you know, it's like Zach Wilson telling the job, I brought value. No. You brought value to the other team. You did not bring value to our team.
Brought heartburn.
You know? You brought value for, Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
That's who you brought value for, because I took a lot of that when he was under center. And even more when he was in the shotgun, because I knew he was going to throw. I look at MSNBC and I look at these people like Wallace, you know, I let myself feel joy. And it just that part of it just allows me to, once again, I've been saying this for a minute. The Democrats are they're the party now. I don't know what they stand for other than abortion and men in the women's restroom and men in women's sports, right? I know what they stand against. They don't like Trump. And that worked for a while because a lot of the American people were like, oh, yeah, I don't like Trump either because he said this or the bus or, you know, he's a racist or that is all worn off. So now you have people going, you know, the Democrats, I don't like Trump. We have to resist Trump. And you have a majority, large majority of the Americans going, why? Right. We want to cut the waste. We want to secure the border. There are only two genders. We don't want men and women sports. You know, we want lower taxes. We want a smaller government. We want a strong military and we want free speech. And so you have the Democrats going, well, we're going to resist that. And people are going, why? Well, because Trump said it. You know, which is why the joke is there and I'm figuring out the best way to use it. But like, I want Donald Trump at one point because he said it during the joint address. He could do anything. He could solve the biggest problems that the world faced today. He could end the Russia-Ukraine war, the Israel-Hamas war. He could cure deadly diseases. He could solve world hunger. He could, and they would still find something to be upset about. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm Trump, I'm signing an executive order soon, endorsing like the process of breathing. You know what I mean? Like endorsing oxygen, right? Because I want to see how many of them actually hold their breath.
Yeah.
No. If he's
resist,
right?
Resist.
Like just, you know, how many of them put plastic bags over their head and in resistance to Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Because that's the level that the TDS, you know, the derangement, mm-hmm. it's what it is. It's derangement. That's the level that it's at.
Yep.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. If you're watching right now, please make sure you hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. Also, please hit the little bell there on the subscribe button because that'll alert you when we are live. Sean is live with us every Friday. And I'm hearing that he could be with us next week earlier. Along with Elon Musk. Donald Trump and Elon Musk could be joining the program on Tuesday, I believe. But you have to make sure to stay tuned every morning for this. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Please hit the like and subscribe button. Okay. Trump signed a proclamation making March 2025 Women's History Month. Roll it.
So two very special proclamations, the first of which is a proclamation that proclaims March 2025 as Women's History Month in honor of all the wonderful women in your administration, all the wonderful women in America, and in honor of everything you've done for women and this administration has done for women in just, what, a month and a half? So.
Yeah, we've done a lot, and women have done a lot for us, right? This is an honor. We have a wonderful woman here, Maria Bartiromo.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you, Maria.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. She's and thanks for all that you're doing for women.
Thank you. She's going to do an interview of me later. Maybe I shouldn't do this interview. I should be like Biden, not do any interviews. That's great. Women, we love you.
We love you too, sir.
Thank you.
It's the longest signature for an 11-letter name I've ever seen. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
How long, maybe it's just because the Sharpie's so thick. I'm not sure. Let me ask you this.
It's also a very neat signature. Like
it is.
Like,
it's not sloppy.
Yeah, his penmanship is very neat.
Yes. I love that word, by the way. My grandmother used to say that. Nikki, you're going to want to have good penmanship when you get older.
Yeah, I have terrible penmanship.
Yeah. You have good penmanship, Sean?
Chicken scratch.
Yeah, me too. Dawn, how's your penmanship? I can see Dawn having really good penmanship.
It's hieroglyphics.
Dawn, you have good writing?
I think so.
Yeah? Larry Bear doesn't. He's a total mess, right?
He's not bad. You know, he had these strict Catholic education, so you know what I mean? The nuns really make you.
Yeah.
They smack you on the knuckles with a ruler if you don't have good penmanship. So what do we think of
let's get down to business.
Women's History Month.
The women really need a full month.
Did you guys get me something?
No. I thought February was their month.
No, that's Black History Month.
That's Black History Month.
But the women get Valentine's Day. Football season's over. My wife's like,
oh. I thought there was always a Women's History Month.
Yes.
I thought that was something that I didn't think that was new.
Yeah.
How come, you know, as Trump would say, the blacks and the women, we get these cruddy winter months,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, Pride Month is June.
Well, let me ask you.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
like, I want June.
Well, I'll explain that the summer. In a second.
As Morgan Freeman said, you're going to relegate my history to a month?
So, African-Americans, blacks get February, women get March, and the gays and LGBTQ get June. What about us men? When do men get a month?
Well, a liberal...
Every day is man's day.
A liberal female will be like, you get the other 9 months.
Sorry.
That's the patriarchy. We can't do that. We're not allowed to have that.
Come on.
So here's the thing. The left has missed an opportunity. Yeah, yes. The left has missed an opportunity for a very long time, and I'm still waiting for them to do this, but Black History Month is the shortest month of the year. So I'm waiting for someone to. That's racist,
right?
See,
you know, whoever decided that Black History Month was in February is a white supremacist.
Well, there's only 30 days in June, so the LGBTQ Pride Month is actually snubbed a day. How
well,
did they not get 31 days?
There's actually like a Pride Month 2.0 in October.
Yeah,
now. Like there's like a
what?
Okay, and you know why? Yeah, you know why? You know, right? Because most schools around the country are out by June. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about pushing this on children. So they do Pride Month 2.0. It's like, you know, Pride Month is observed in October, you know, October identifies as June type of thing. That's why they do it. It's all about the kids. That's it. It's all
You're
about
right.
the kids. If they can't push it in schools, that's it. And most schools in the country are out by June. So they do it again in October
Second
so they can
week.
Slam it down the kids' throats.
Yeah.
And plus, to your point, Juneteenth.
Hopefully not figuratively. Or
Juneteenth.
Literally.
I know. Right?
I was waiting for someone to make
Gregory.
A comment.
Sorry. Gregory.
These people are about 10 exits past normal.
Shame.
Sorry.
Even the Louisiana senator doesn't like it.
Even John Kennedy's disgusted, which he might actually make a cameo later today.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. As far as the whole months. And
I don't like it.
I'm done with months.
Me too.
I'm also done with the days. I don't want to hear anymore that it's National Croissant Day or National French Fry Day, unless Chickie and Pizza's in here and they want to drop off crab fries, then I'll just stuff my face. all these days and months. Can we just go about... I don't even like celebrating my own birthday. I really don't. I refuse to let people
Friday,
sing.
September. We need to keep Friday, September 9th. We need to keep September 19th. A day, though. You know what that day is?
What?
Your birthday.
It's International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
God.
Which is the best.
I do that every day.
You have to, you know, if you don't wake up and give me a shiver me timbers, I'm going to have a hard time. I remember when I first found out that that was the day, and I was in a supermarket, and it was, someone told me when I was in college, that it was one of my radio classes, and they were like, you know, it's Talk Like a Pirate. So the whole class talked like, because those are clown classes.
I could see you dressing up like Captain Hook.
Let me tell you, no, Captain Jack Sparrow, first of all, we love Jack. He's great. The Pearl of Color, we love it. It's a great, great ship. We built it. But I remember my buddy and I were in a supermarket, and it was the Talk Like a Pirate Day. And so I said, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day. We have to talk like pirates in this. And he's like, I'm not doing it. So I was at the checkout with the cashier, and I started doing it. The person's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day, and I am not paying for these groceries until you talk like a pirate and the cashier talk like a pirate.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was great.
By the way, if you were with us right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, we put up a poll question on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Do you want it later for daylight savings time? Don Stensland. Right now, the poll is running very lopsided. Yes, 81%, no, 19%.
So I knew I had faith in this audience.
People want it later. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I think it was Rob on the YouTube chat who said, well, I like to get up and run in the morning, and I don't want to run in the dark.
Buy a treadmill and run in your basement.
That's what I was going to say. You know, you can get a treadmill.
I'll get the comments. Not everybody can afford a treadmill. Not everybody has a basement.
Let's get into the subject of tariffs here. Trump talked about his interview with Maria Bartiromo. She interviewed him and asked him about tariffs, and this is what he said. Cut 28, go.
You spoke to the president of Mexico today. I want to talk about tariffs because even as you're seeing this optimism and excitement, there's some nervousness over your tariffs. Markets have been selling off. People are not sure how to view it. Why did you roll back or put a pause into some of the tariffs until April 2nd?
Because I wanted to help Mexico and Canada to a certain extent. We're a big, big country, and they do a lot of their business with us, whereas in our case, it's much less significant. We do very little with Canada by comparison. And I wanted to help the American car makers until April 2nd. April 2nd, it becomes all reciprocal. What they charge us, we charge them. It's a big deal, but what they charge us, we charge them. But this is short term, and I felt that for the good of the American car makers and the MCA, you know, the USMCA, it's Mexico, Canada. I thought it would be a fair thing to do, and so I gave them a little bit of a break for this short period of time.
But I asked you about this before, and I know you told me when I asked you, I said, you did use MCA, you put this together.
Yeah.
And yet then you come back and you change it up with these tariffs, and you said to me at that time, I did it because I can. I put an amendment in there, and I said in 6 years I can change it. But I think CEOs want to see predictability. They say, look, I have to speak with shareholders. I've got to make plans for CapEx spending. I can't if it's 20% one day and then it's off for a month and it's 25%.
Yeah.
So can you give us a sense of whether or not we are going to get clarity for the business community?
Well, I think so. But, you know, the tariffs could go up as time goes by, and they may go up. And, you know, I don't know if it's predictability. I think
so that's not clarity.
No, I think that they say that. You know, it sounds good to say. But for years, the globalists, the big globalists, have been ripping off the United States. They've been taking money away from the United States. And all we're doing is getting some of it back. And we're going to treat our country fairly. This country has been ripped off from every nation in the world, every company outside in the world. We've been ripped off at levels never seen before. And all we're going to do is get it back. We're going to get a lot of it back. We're not going to let people take advantage of us anymore.
So a lot of people yesterday were weighing in on tariffs and what they think about them. Axios has a story with some polling numbers that show Republicans overwhelmingly support Trump on tariffs in spite of the higher costs that they're likely to face as a result. That's coming from an Economist YouGov poll. If these tariffs were to go into effect, economists predict it'll cost the average American household $830 more per year. It looks like, according to the polling numbers, 78% approve of this, and that's in regards to the 10% tariff on goods from China, and then the numbers are a little bit lower for support with the tariffs on Canada, with them coming in at 25% tariffs. So this is kind of interesting because, remember, Trump did say there might be some short-term pain. I don't know about you guys, and I know everybody's financial situation is a little difficult, or a little different. I would have thought it would cost more than $830 more per year. I mean, if you do the math, I mean, that's under, what?
70 bucks a month.
70 bucks a month. If you're telling me that would, let's just say hypothetical, here's the scenario. Trump goes through with all this on April 2nd, they become reciprocal. From April 2nd to the following April, it costs you $800 more overall. But in the long term, year two of Trump, year three, year four, we're in a much better spot economically. Was that short-term struggle worth it for you for the long-term gain? For me, the answer is yes. Now, if I'm paying $830 more a year every single year under Trump with tariffs, I'm going to be pissed. But short-term, for the looking down with the long vision, I'm okay with it. That's where I'm
at. Well, and then this is the question. Is it $830 more every year? So is $830 over 25 and then another $830 over 20? Does it keep becoming $830? Is it compounded, or is it, here's the new baseline. It's $830 more. So next year it's not new. It's already costs that you're used to. That's number one. Number two, short-term pain, long-term gain. So I believe in that, right? I mean, when you go to the gym, the first day you start a new workout routine, you feel like you're going to die.
Brutal.
You know what I mean, it's brutal, right? But if you wait, you know, you go 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months in, you know, you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, okay, I get it, right? So there we go. It takes time to produce those results, and you do have to give this thing time. Look, tariffs, in my opinion, and this is where, if you're going to tell me it's only $70 more a month, well, now it's time to go, you know, dive into your personal finances and find this somewhere you're spending 70 bucks where you don't need to spend the 70 bucks. I guarantee you, everybody's paid, you know, maybe it's an extra bottle of booze every month that you don't necessarily need, but you really, really want. That is a want. That's a want, not a need.
That's a need, brother.
I mean, you know, you gotta be, you know, resourceful. Yeah. Maybe if it's legal in your state,
yeah,
you know, make your own moonshine. It is what it is. Then you save a lot of money. Right?
This is good.
A little sugar and water, yeast, you know, you run a little still, put a little bluegrass on, and you have a little fun. Now, the point is, I'm fine with tariffs because the goal, according to Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, is, you know, to abolish the IRS. So at that point, here's where I'm at. Okay, so we're going to get rid of the IRS. We're going to replace it with tariffs. Maybe there's a flat tax. So instead of the federal government reaching their hand into every check, you know, every paycheck, every deposit, I'm only paying the tax when I buy something, right? Which to me incentivizes more responsible buying, you know, not just for myself, but for everybody. And I don't know, I feel like that's a better way to do it, right? It's a consumption tax. When you buy something, you're paying the tax.
Well, it's kind of what you're dealing with in Tennessee, right? You have no state income tax, but sales tax is what, 9.5%?
Exactly. Exactly. So the sales tax is higher than it is in the state of New York, but there's no state income tax. Property taxes are lower. Car insurance is lower. Healthcare costs are lower. You know, everything else here is lower. So you want to take a little bit more of my money at the point of sale, at the register? I'm okay with that if it means that every single dollar that I make doesn't get taxed by the state government. Instead, every single product that I buy has a little bit of a higher tax. So I'm only paying the tax when I'm making the purchase, and I'm fine with that.
If you're just joining us, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick indicating President Trump, which he has done today, that he's delayed imposing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, citing requests actually from Mexico's president. But this is covered under USMCA trade deals.
Senator Rand Paul weighed in on this. You know, he's very against tariffs because it directly affects his state because of the bourbon.
Booze.
Right? Cut 15, go. Yeah.
Almost every industry in Kentucky has come to me and said it will hurt our industry and push up prices of homes, cars. And so I'm going to continue to argue against tariffs.
There you go.
Are you guys surprised that a majority of Republicans are on board with this? I mean, this is not just you know, MAGA Republicans that agree with Trump on 20 out of 20 things. I mean, this is, according to the Economist YouGov poll, I mean, we're talking almost 8 out of 10 that voted in this and that were polled, registered Republicans on board. I'm a little surprised it's that high, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too. I love Rand Paul. I disagree with him on this, but he's saying that there are folks in his state that are upset with it, and he's doing his job. You know, every time when Rand Paul comes out and says something, there's usually a really good reason behind it. So I actually respect him for taking that stance. He's not taking that stance to be a pain.
Yeah.
He's taking that stance because his constituents are telling him to take that stance. And that's what he is supposed to do. That's his job. I am pretty surprised that a majority of Republicans are on board with it, knowing that it will increase costs in the short term. Mm-hmm. But maybe, you know, the constituents and those in those areas, you know, that are the ones who elected those officials, maybe they see the forest for the trees, too. And they say, hey, you know, it's short term pain, long term gain. Yeah. You know, and I can't even say I hope Rand Paul changes his position because I don't. It's something that his constituents have to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He is, I think, my favorite senator. He's my favorite by far, but I think he might be the best member of the Senate.
He's really good. 40, just for clarity, 42% of independents support the tariffs. Only 23% of Democrats.
Well, let's keep something in mind, and that is why Trump said not only to rewrite his policy as far as the trade policy, even out the playing field, but what the original reason that Trump talked about this and not just about the trade deficit was because he wants to curb the illicit fentanyl trafficking and the migration situation.
Yes. Yep.
Right. So part of this is to say, OK, you guys want to do business with us. Let's even the playing field. But you got to keep your nasty fentanyl out of our country.
And that affects China and Mexico.
Absolutely.
Yep. He uses it as a tool.
Yep.
You know, I mean, look what Honda just did.
Yep.
When they heard that there were going to be tariffs on Mexican vehicles, you know, vehicles produced in Mexico, they said, okay, well, we're going to produce the new Honda Civic Hybrid in Indiana. So Now you have Americans who are going to be putting those vehicles together. That's a net positive the folks of Indiana. It's going to be easier for Honda now to bring those vehicles into the United States. They're not going to have to pay. Now you may have to pay higher labor costs, right? But here's the cool part about tariffs. And this is why I love, you got to let it play out, right? Because the market always has a way of being right. Always. It always figures itself out. So, you know, when you look at, they say, oh, it's going to make the cost of everything higher. If you have products that are made in China, something that you use and it's made in China, and you're able to buy it at a more accessible price point because some, you know, 10-year-old put it together in a sweatshop and they used really horrible, you know, the quality of raw materials out there in China that were sourced in ways that we would look at as unethical. So the cost of putting that product together is lower. There's no tariff. So the cost of bringing it in, or not no tariff, but there's a lower tariff or a lower cost to bring it into the United States. So you can sell it at a more accessible price point. That's how Temu, you know, is in business. That's exactly what they do. It's cheap labor, cheap parts, cheap products. Now, if you're tariffing the cheap labor and that whole aspect of things, and it makes the products, let's say on Temu, right, cost more, to the point where now it's negligible between an American-made product and a Chinese-made product. You know that U.S.-made product is being put together with quality materials, employees that are treated right. You are now more incentivized to go for that better quality product because you're not actually paying that much more money.
Right.
It brings that – it helps people. It guides people to that conclusion of, well, you know what? Maybe I should just support the American company because I'm not saving that much if I buy the Chinese product anyway. It helps American businesses. It incentivizes people to do business here. It's going to increase the quality of product that comes into the country or that is consumed by folks within the country. I love, but that's long term. That's 5 to 10 years. That's not going to happen tomorrow. And unfortunately, in 2025, we're in the TikTok world. Right. Where it's like, I need it now.
Yep. Exactly.
But it's like, but it's not going to happen now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That's the point we were trying to make here yesterday was that it's, you know, we don't, the American people aren't good with, you know, like this is going to take time. Yeah. We want it and we want it now.
We have no patience.
That's our world. That's the world we live in.
Yep.
If I want something, I can get it right away.
Short-sighted.
Exactly.
Tunnel vision on demand, a la carte.
We should take a break here, but on the other side, Kale, I got to give you credit. You sniffed out the Jasmine Crocker thing months ago.
Had her pegged from day one.
What?
We'll get into all that. Plus, just for you, Sean Farish, just for you, pal, we have JoJo. You know JoJo?
Oh, yeah.
From Jersey?
The Twitter chick. She got into a fight with Piers Morgan about what a woman is. We have all of that coming on up on the other side.
Like, I'm was better than sex.
Oh, and we have him too.
Yes. All right, Kale and Company, as we continue, a lot still ahead on the cut sheet. But right now, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking about Mercedes-Benz today because their extensive selection at all of their Mercedes dealerships that include Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, they all combine luxury with performance across the full line, whether you're looking for a sedan, an SUV, a coupe, a roadster, and all of their vehicles, from the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of that gorgeous 2025 GLE SUV. You will find luxury that meets your every needs and every desire. Schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz today, or you can shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, which is my location, Wilmington, and Atlantic City at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. That's PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. And tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Jasmine Crockett is kind of a big phony. She puts on this, like, you know, this ghetto accent to be more accepted, right?
The code speak, right?
She's gone to, you pointed out that she's gone to these really high level, high ritzy schools that are expensive.
And an all girls Catholic high school that's prestigious.
So to prove that point, there's an unearthed video of Jasmine Crockett from a couple years ago where she, like, talks like a normal human being.
Yes.
And then that's, you can hear that as well as, you know, the speak that she says where I'm not, you know what I mean? And curses all the time. Yeah.
She uses that ritzy Putin's, education that she had.
Putin's hoe is what he, is what she said about Trump. All right, Phil, this is cut 14. Go.
First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now it looks like a little bit over a year ago.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Right.
There are so many Democrats that change their speech pattern, their verbiage, their dialect, their accent. I mean, we've seen Shapiro channel his Obama voice.
Yep.
We've Kamala Harris changed seven voices in 7 days.
True.
One day she's talking to the Jamaican people. She's like, have you no empathy, man? I have it on my board. I don't even know why I imitated her. I should have just played the damn thing.
You need an exorcism.
I do. I need a board exorcism. Where am I here? Where's my empathy drop at? I'm going to have to clean this thing up.
Clean this thing up.
But anyway, you get my point.
All right, let's start it over again, Phil, if you will, my friend. Roll it.
First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. It's just not what my plan was. But what I've always decided is that I would step up when there was a need.
Listen, he up there, he's hearing all kinds of nonsense. Let me just be real. And we weren't gonna sit. We wouldn't, you know.
But when she called me and said, I think it's time for me to retire, and you're the one that I believe should take my seat, I really was kind of caught off guard. I didn't anticipate that. If anyone knows anything about the Congresswoman, they know.
We showed up, and if he has some sense, then maybe we would have been about that life. But y'all know he ain't got no sense. So please give some love. This took a little bit of coordinating to do, for sure. We got some cool shirts.
You know, the congressional seat is over 4 times as large as the House.
It's unbelievable.
And I was just starting to get into the rhythm of doing constituent services and things like that. We got Madam Williams, who just happens to have the honorary seat. It's not even honorary because she held me down, y'all. But the legend himself, John Lewis, that is the seat in which she currently serves. So she honored his legacy. This is the message that she wanted to send today.
Wow.
Stone cold fraud.
Have you no empathy, man?
Just like her.
Have you no empathy?
Have you no empathy, man? And this is, and we've had somebody that's called in the past and said it's code speak. To me, it's fraudulence. And here's why.
It's fraudulence.
I didn't grow up in some country club community. I grew up, barely the bottom portion of lower middle class. And I had friends in every neighborhood. And I never once, whether I was with my white friends or my black friends or my Hispanic friends or any other friends. I mean, I grew up about 2 blocks away from public housing in a very modest half double. You can almost call it a row home. And I never once changed the way I spoke based on the community I was in. So you could call it code speak. My personal view is just be yourself in any setting. That's the way I've always looked at it. So Jasmine Crockett, I don't know how old that first clip is. It's got to be a couple of years, I would guess, because she has changed her appearance and everything. She looks like a totally different person. Very attractive, by the way. She's bogus. And if she thinks that she's the face of the Democrat Party moving forward, if she thinks that she can pick up where Kamala failed, I think she is sadly mistaken. She has got no shot if she's got bigger goals, Sean, than serving the district that she represents now.
Listen, again, we go to the choose your fighter. We have all the, okay. I want her to run the marathon for president. I want her to primary AOC. I want Buttigieg in the mix. I want Fetterman to throw Sasquatch in there, put Newsom. I want all of it. I want all of them to run for president together. They could do a president by committee.
Yep.
I'm totally, they have, what do they have?
Yep.
No, seriously, it's crazy because, so from, you know, coming from me, it doesn't mean as much. Okay, because I'm on the other side. So, of course, I'm going to, talk crap about my opponents. It's fine. But, like, they're admitting they don't have anything either. James Carville is upset, the raging Cajun. He looks like Skeletor or whatever, the Jack Skellington from A Nightmare Before Christmas. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You look at these. What do they have? Seriously. Yeah. They've got nothing. Yeah. Now, I can look on our side and go, okay, we got Vance, DeSantis, Byron Donalds, Josh Hawley. You know, there's a lot of people on our side that have made pretty big names for themselves. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, right? I mean, there are people on our side of the aisle that have done, and that's not, but like there are people there that have made names for themselves and had real tangible success that would scare the Vivek, right? That would scare the crap out of the Democrat Party. I would even argue that Chris Christie is a better caliber candidate on our side than anything they have on that side. And Chris Christie sucks.
Sloppy, you know Chris, I mean? Christie. So
it's just, what do they have? So honestly, Jasmine Crockett.
You're right. They make all the Looney Tunes on the left, like Crockett and Liz Warren and these people that just give us these unbelievable clips for the cut sheet. They actually make Josh Shapiro look like the most sound, logical Democrat that the party could offer.
Forgot about him.
Right?
I forgot about him.
I mean, they make Newsom look relatively sane, and he's a kook.
Yeah. Well, Newsom, you saw what he did with Kirk. You know, oh, yeah, women and men. Oh, give me a break.
By the way, how amazing is it that he's sitting there and saying, yeah, my son really likes you?
For some reason... nobody in Gavin Newsom's family is a leftist, apparently. Like, their in-laws moved to Florida to get away from him, like the kid. And what was it? Wasn't it Van Jones, like, not too long ago, was like, yeah, my kids are on Rumble. And I'm like, how?
Yep.
How does Van Jones' kids go on Rumble?
It also makes you think, too, because you tend to, not always, you know, I know there are exceptions, but you tend to kind of align politically with your spouse, right? Like, so to think that Gavin Newsom's entire family is conservative and he's not kind of makes you think, where is he coming from?
Right.
Right? Like, is he genuine? I don't know.
Is he a fraud?
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of Jasmine Crockett, so the other day, actually, Tony Bruno, who I think is in the YouTube chat right now.
Bruno, you're not back till next week.
Brought this up, which is more visual, so we didn't play it. So Jasmine Crockett and her two staff members did this TikTok where they were rapping. And it wasn't them rapping, it was a song that they were singing along to. This black TikToker is amazing because he's watching the video and commenting along on her the absurd nature of this, and he's like, why are we the only ethnic group that clowns ourselves like this woman is doing? This is cut 22, Phil, roll it.
What other ethnic group got their elected officials doing stuff like this, bro? Crazy. And what's so crazy, a lot of y'all probably are clapping your hands applauding it, like championing it right here. This is crazy, bro. She's doing the chick that's drunk at the club face. What is she doing here? The ratchet tongue, man. Y'all don't remember when Cardi B was doing that on Vine all the time? Yes, the ratchet tongue. Folks, we gotta do better, man. Like, this was something that kids would do. Like, her children. You feel me? Like, why are you guys up doing this type of stuff? And you guys are supposed to be elected. She's supposed to be an elected official. Like, an elected person, right? Or a person that works in the government? Shouldn't she be working with more maturity? Like, this is crazy, bro. Like I said, it's so many of y'all out there that saw this and was like, oh, yeah, you go, girl. Not realizing how bad this makes us look when it comes to being, like, a politician and running the country and stuff like this. Like, when you have a mature mind and you're a leader and all of that stuff, you're not even thinking about doing a like this. You ain't got time for it, bro. What if Trump came out with like this, bro? Oh, my gosh. That would be crazy, bro. That would be crazy. But I'm done. I want to hear from y'all. Are you guys enthralled by this? Like, are you guys enthused, happy? You know, is this exciting for you? Is this awesome? You know, is this tea? I don't know what y'all call it nowadays, but is this something good to y'all? Y'all let me know if I'm tripping or if I'm reaching. Please. The ins and outs, in betweens, all that. Drop them in the comments.
Wow.
Well, I'll comment for you. A couple of things. I just looked up Jasmine Crockett's Wikipedia. She's actually 43 years old. I was going to say that maybe that resonates with young female voters in her district, but she's probably 20 years older than those young females that vote for her. Just pointing out her age. She's got a law degree from the University of Houston, so I don't think she's stupid. Although, I would say this. You know, there are so many politicians now, and this goes Democrat, Republican. People are trying to become caricatures, and they're trying to become these personalities in politics. And I think it's the Trump effect. And I've said this for a long time when I rip on, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and the theatrics and, you know, power cleaning in her garage and her gym on Instagram. Not everybody's Trump. Trump's one of one. He's a unicorn. Just get down to business. Focus on serving your constituents. That's why I like guys like DeSantis. He's not going to win a beauty contest. He wins policy contests, though. He gets results. So it's Democrat or Republican to me. If you want to be a social media influencer, if you want to be on the Housewives of Atlanta, if you want to be a WWE wrestler, knock yourself out. But I don't need the song and dance from every politician. Get down to business, and you're working for us. Whether I voted for you or not, my tax dollars are paying your salary, not this stupid crap on TikTok.
Well, then I want to be clear, too. I mean, I think it's okay to have fun at work.
Sure.
But you have to have results. Yep. You know, you have to be putting – you can't just be dancing in the hallways of the Capitol, as that guy said, with the ratchet. That's why we call her Nurse Ratchet, by the way, right? Because – let me tell you something. What a stupid. But you can't just be doing that and then making a fool of yourself and saying you're Putin's hoe or whatever it is. Like, right. You know, this is that's okay. Put the shoe on the other foot. If Brandon Gill of Texas said something like that about Joe Biden or, you know, Hakeem Jeffries, they would be melting. It would be Chernobyl on MSNBC, right? It would just be like a nuclear meltdown, like a worse, just bad, real bad, right?
Yep.
If a Republican said that, used that terminology to refer to a Democrat, right? But you have Crockett and it's celebrated. And that guy on TikTok is pointing it out. There are people who are celebrating that behavior. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I didn't celebrate the behavior of Donald Trump in a McDonald's during the campaign. I absolutely did. It was a publicity stunt. It was a bit. It was obviously, jabbing at Kamala Harris. Now, it's different when you're campaigning for president and snapshots and sound bites matter. And there was ambiguity and some sort of obscurity around, did Kamala actually work there? Or did she just say she did to appear more relatable? And that's what he was doing. OK, of course, I celebrated that. But Donald Trump does those things, but also produces results. You know, when Donald Trump goes out in this now second administration and is out there fulfilling day one promises that he said he was going to fulfill, you know, pushing the policy agenda that is wildly popular with the American people, I'm okay if he has a little fun on the side because I know he's actually working. Okay. Yeah. What is Jasmine Crockett doing?
And he also has has a track record of this, and it's natural. Exactly. That doesn't come off natural from Jasmine Crockett. With Trump, I mean, he's been on SNL. He's been on The Apprentice. Trump is an entertainer. He understands Hollywood and show business and theatrics. Jasmine Crockett doesn't. And when you kind of go outside of what made you what you are, people are like, all right, that person's trying too hard to be something they're not.
Yep.
And I think audiences can sniff that out.
Sean, my friend, this is for you. This is Joe from Jersey.
I'm just going to sit back and
if
let
you,
Sean get this one.
If you're on Twitter or X, you know this person. She's a big liberal Twitter troll.
He's the Lebanese liberal.
She was on Piers Morgan Uncensored, where, by the way, look, you know, we have multiple voices on the show. I love it. I think we're doing it very successfully. But the problem with this, and you'll hear this, is that there's five of them, and they all talk over one another.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating. But Piers Morgan asked Joe from Jersey, or JoJo, whatever her name is, what is a woman? And
Dawn, be on standby as well for this one.
Roll this.
JoJo, I'm going to ask you a question, a simple question.
What are you talking
about? Give me a simple answer, JoJo. What is a woman, JoJo?
Yes. Well, a woman is whatever. If you feel like you're a woman, then you're a woman. I know I'm a woman. I identify as a woman.
So if I feel like a woman right now, I'm a woman?
I'm not threatened.
Hang on.
What would you feel like?
If you feel like you're a woman, it's your identity, sure.
So hang on, just to be clear.
I'm sorry. What's a man? Piers, what's your definition of a man?
Just to be clear. Just
I'm
to
a
be
woman.
Clear,
what's your
just
definition
to be clear,
of a man?
So just to be clear, if I feel like a woman right now, I am a woman. Is that your position?
And if you feel like you are a woman, Piers, and you want to walk around identifying as a woman, it is not my prerogative to tell you that you
can. Am
cannot.
I a woman?
I identify
I
as
woman?
A woman. What is
am
a man,
a woman?
Piers? What is a man?
Oh, a man is
Donald
an
Trump a man?
Human.
Can I
That's it.
Pierce, can
male.
I jump into that question?
Adult,
human.
Male.
Adult human male.
Pierce. Adult human male is a man.
An adult
yes.
human male.
Can I
yes.
finally
Pierce, get and a woman is an adult human female. Adult human female.
That's what a woman is. I am a woman. I identify as a woman.
Okay,
can
but
I
just to be clear.
Yes,
hang on, Matt. I'm going to bring Matt in. I just want to just.
Oh, Matt,
sorry,
Matt you
double
really
down
need
on this.
To stay out of this one, friend.
I just want to be clear,
I
Jojo.
You don't want to go here,
Jojo
Matt.
Jojo said if you feel like a woman, you're a woman. So, Jojo, yeah. final time. If I now say I feel
identity.
Like a woman.
It's not about biology.
No, sorry,
biology,
I'm asking you a question. Stop talking. If I now yeah. say I feel like a woman, am I a woman?
God.
Am I a woman? If I say
if
I feel
like a woman, you're a woman.
Bob Dog.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
Good God Almighty. Sean Farish, your thoughts.
Do you feel like
okay.
a woman?
No. You know, I woke up this morning, I had to go to the bathroom, and I stood. All right? So I'm automatically...
Big balls.
You know, there it is, right?
Did a little jiggle.
Unlike, by the way, Queen Justine Trudeau, who cried a river. This is the story of the girl. Who cried better, Justin Trudeau or Selena Gomez? I don't know yet.
Poll question.
I'm not sure. Poll question. Question of the day.
Yep.
You know, this is so funny. Piers Morgan, I understand. That's on, like, cable television, or is that broadcast, like, over the air?
I have
FCC
no idea. Yeah.
I could not do that and not scream, shut the you-know-what up at her. Like, it would. I wouldn't be able to shut up. You know what they need to bring back? Remember Around the Horn, where they used to mute the people who were making fools of them?
Yeah.
We need the... And that's it. She could, and you have no idea you've been muted. Yeah. So she would just be over there, mom, 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 and Piers Morgan would be like, no, you're muted right now. That this is how the left does it, right? They don't let you get your question out. They're like, no, I'm a woman. No, it's if you identify. No, it's this. He's basically saying, well, what is the criteria? Where does it stop? Yeah. Okay? Because then, like, if I identify as a cat, okay, and I go to a restaurant and they don't have a litter box for me to pee in, is that restaurant, you know, insensitive, right?
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But in some cases, like schools, that has been the case where there have been litter boxes placed in the classroom. What are you educating these children now? Right? Is this what Mr. Rogers and the land of make believe is now the land of absolutely real? I mean, it is mind blowing. And this is why, again, 80% of the country says no, yeah. There's only two genders. Look, if you are a biological male and you want to wear a dress, you could wear the dress. You could wear it for as long as you want. I don't care if men put dresses on. I don't care. I don't agree with it. I think it's stupid. I don't care. Just because you put the dress on does not give you clearance to go into the restroom that the other people with the dresses on go into. That's where we have the issue.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, oh, well, stay out of my life. I'm not in your life. You're in mine. Do you understand that? You... Whether you're Bruce Jenner or you're one of these people who wants to put a dress on and walk around and masquerade as a woman, you could play Halloween 365 days a year and 366 days a year when there's a leap year. I have no problem with that, okay, if you want to play that game. Don't force me to play a game that is not based in reality. That's all, okay? Jojo, whoever it might be, you know, and I say this all the time. People get mad at me when I say Bruce Jenner is a complete and total fraud. He stands against men and women's sports. Has he given back his Woman of the Year award yet? The answer is no. Okay, right? No, so he took that away from a real woman.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, there are clear differences between men and women. You're now the stories are coming out. You know, you had the female volleyball player at the joint address. We've saw, you know, with Riley Gaines, Paula Scanlon, William Thomas, San Jose, the volleyball saga. You've had with Trump highlighted somebody who finished a five hour record or something, beat the record by 5 hours because of their biology. You're seeing this happen. The NHL did this whole like trans league thing a couple of years ago, and they let both genders on the ice together, and a biological man who decided he felt like a woman put a woman into the boards, not with malice, just because he was playing the game, and she was out cold on the ice for 3 minutes
mm-hmm.
because she got a concussion. At what point in time does it stop? You know,
yep.
I understand you want to be tolerant of the way people feel if you're gay, if you feel like you're the other gender. I'm not saying you don't have the right to feel that way. You could feel however you want. If I wanted to right now, I could feel like a golden retriever and go out there and play fetch. It'll be no problem. I'm not saying you're allowed to do that. What I'm saying is just because you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does not mean you get, you know, that everybody else has to go, oh, yeah, you are. You have a schizophrenic friend. You're not walking over to that schizophrenic friend going, hey, yo, all those voices you hear, they're all real. Listen to them. If you have a friend who is anorexic, looks like David Hogg, and that anorexic friend says, I'm huge and I have to stop eating for a week, you're not going to be like, great idea.
Skinniest hog I've ever seen, by the way. Dawn,
this is it. You're affirming insanity.
Yep.
Yes.
That's Dawn, what they're doing.
Can you define what a woman is?
Dawn, please.
Here she is, right here.
Go. Beautiful.
I'm not an adjective. To be or not to be. It is Shakespearean, but I also think that it goes deeper than that. And it's all part of, it started, my brother John talks about this way back in the day, the media, he would say, look at all the TV shows. And this was a long time ago. And he would say, this has been, what's going on where they're putting down men? And so this is just tapping away, I think, chipping away, trying to erode. What is a man, a real man, an alpha man, in other words, a father? What is a woman, meaning a woman, a mother? And so part of this, when I really look at it, I didn't want to believe this. I didn't. But now I do. I believe that this is a gross manipulation that's trying to convince and brainwash people, you know, not to bully, to be inclusive, to be accepting. But it's also going against family and faith and traditional values. And that's why I think all that DEI money, because why in the heck were they going to, you know, to Africa and villages around the world and trying to impose some of this anti-family, anti-traditional stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to just let this mind virus spread.
Yeah.
And so that to me is the gross part of it. And as far as JoJo Siwa, I don't know if your girls used to follow her, Nick, because she was a child star. She had a huge following. She'd sing little songs. I know she's 21 now, but she had I have family members and nieces and nephews and whatnot. They all, like, the parents were like, nope, we're done with her, because she came out and said she was, and I forget, she's in the LGBTQ+IA. I think she said she's trans, whatever, and then started pushing this stuff. Look at her following. She's had a huge loss. That's why I think
JoJo's
she's
trans.
Yeah, she came out. Or she won. She's in.
She's 21.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to really.
It's creepy. You
we
guys.
Need to continue this on the other side. We really have to break here.
All right, Kale and Company back after this with the 9 o'clock hour.
Start your day with Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.